So, you know, one thing about doing a series, you know, a series, like we're doing a series on life in the kingdom of God right now, is that you can't skip. You can't just go, you know what, we've got to this verse. I don't really want to talk on that. We'll just skip that. Oh, we're at tithing. Oh, we better not talk about tithing or whatever. And so we're on this series, Life in the Kingdom of God, and we've been looking at the Sermon on the Mount. More specifically, we've been looking at the Beatitudes. And today, we're looking at the last Beatitude, the eighth Beatitude, found in Matthew chapter 5, verse 10. And it says, "Blessed are those who are persecuted because of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven." And you know, I thought, really, I don't want to talk about persecution. Who wants to talk about being persecuted? How many here would like to be persecuted today? How many, you know, like somebody to come in with a rifle and say, you know, if you don't denounce your faith, I'm going to shoot you. We don't want that. And so, it would probably be much more easier and more comfortable just to skip this verse. I mean, we really don't want to talk about persecution. And I guess what the question comes down to is persecution even relevant today? Or is it just for the first couple of centuries? Well, for 27 years now, Open Door Ministries has been publishing the World Watch List of the top 50 countries where it is the most dangerous to live if you're following Jesus, if you're a Christian. The top 50 countries. And I'm going to show you a map here. It was put out in 2018, or put out at the end of 2018. And it shows the top 50 countries that are the most dangerous places to live as a Christian. North Korea, for the past 16 years, has been number one. But you know what was my surprise? I did not realize that Mexico is number 39. And I didn't realize Mexico was so against the Christian faith. But so that it's kind of interesting. In fact, according to Open Doors, approximately 215 million Christians now experience very high or extreme levels of persecution. That means 1 in 12 Christians live somewhere where Christianity is illegal, forbidden, or punished. So you can see the extreme is the dark orange, and then the very high is the middle orange, and the yellow is the high. The World Watch List reported for 2018, so for this past year, that 3,066 Christians were killed for their faith. 1,252 Christians were abducted. 1,020 Christians were raped or sexually harassed, and 793 churches were attacked. Do you understand why I wasn't really happy about talking about this subject? It's not a really jump up for joy subject. Another report stated every month 255 Christians are killed, 104 Christians are abducted, 180 women are raped, sexually harassed, or forced into marriage. 66 churches are attacked, and 160 Christians are detained without trial and imprisoned. Persecution, though, is not something that just happens in these 50 countries on the World Watch List. It does and can happen right here. I remember when I was in Bible college, we interned at the Vancouver Pentecostal Chinese Church. And the young people there told us that if they decided to follow Jesus, if they decided to put their faith in Christ and live for Him, that they were basically outcast from their family. Outcast. Just because you've turned your life over to Jesus. Now that was 20 years ago, 30 years ago when I was there. But you know, it was only a matter of months ago, wasn't it, that a number of churches in Merritt were burned. Just churches. No houses. The arson didn't set fire to houses. Just churches. Persecution comes to many. Many Christians are shunned or ridiculed by family, by friends, and strangers. So by looking at these statistics, we would have to say that persecution is something that is relevant to all Christians, as it seems to increase from year to year. And I guess I can assure you that it'll probably increase even more over the years to come. Now, because we're talking about persecution, I hope you don't just tune out and say, oh, this doesn't apply to me, and I really don't want to listen to it. And I know it sounds a little crazy what Jesus said in Matthew 5:10. Blessed are they, those who are persecuted because of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. I mean, blessed, remember we said to be blessed is to be truly happy. And so are you telling me to be truly happy, Jesus, that we need to be persecuted? Maybe I need to be persecuted some more. What could I do to bring persecution? Well, maybe I could go to the Equality Project every day. Right now, I only usually go Mondays and sometimes Wednesdays for a little bit. Maybe I could go every day, the Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday, and share with those at the Equality Project hellfire and brimstone. You know, I could tell them that they're gonna burn in hell if they don't turn their lives over to Jesus. Do you think that might bring a little persecution? Do you think people would be a little upset? It'd go over like a rock. It would. And I would probably get persecuted. Or I could go to Soups On and do that as well. And if that doesn't really work, I thought, well, I could go stand in front of the high school every day and in front of Safety Mart every day and say the day of reckoning's coming, the world's coming to an end, and you're going to have to stand before your Maker, and if you don't get right with Jesus, you've had it. I might get a little persecution there too, I think. Or maybe when the times we go out for dinner and I get my food in the restaurant, maybe I could just stand up and say, excuse me, folks, I just got my meal and I love Jesus. And what I want to do right now, I'm thankful for the food He's given me. Would you all just be quiet and allow me to pray? How would that go over? You'll film that and post it on, post it to Instagram. Yeah, thanks. Or I could continually pester my neighbors, knocking on their doors. 6 o'clock on Sunday morning, telling them, you need to get up, you need to get ready, we need to go to church. Because if you don't, you're really missing. And you won't be blessed. I'm sure that I would be persecuted in any one of those situations. But I'll tell you, I'm also sure that I would not feel blessed. I would probably feel cursed. People would not be friendly to me at all. And I'd feel really bad. Because all I've become is a pain in the neck to people. You see, Jesus said we would be blessed if we were persecuted for righteousness. for doing what is right, not being the pain in the neck to all we meet. Jesus never said that those who were persecuted because they did the persecution just to be persecuted would be blessed. He didn't say, go out and find persecution. Go out and attract persecution. He didn't say those who would be a nuisance would be blessed. No, it's those who do what is right. Those who are living a life as Jesus did. Those who are being persecuted unfairly would be blessed. Really? Listen to Matthew chapter 5, verse 11, where Jesus said, blessed are you when people insult you, persecute you, and falsely say all kinds of evil against you because of me. Not because of you, but because of me. And along with this, we can read in 1 Peter chapter 4, verses 14 to 16, where Peter declares, if you are insulted because you bear the name of Christ, you will be blessed, for the glorious Spirit of God rests upon you. If you suffer, however, it must not be for murder, stealing, making trouble, or prying into other people's affairs, but it is no shame to suffer for being a Christian. Praise God for the privilege of being called by His name. When we're being persecuted for righteousness, we are being identified as a follower of Jesus. See, if we're persecuted for doing what is right, then we're being identified as a follower of Jesus, part of His family. This is what happened to our friends in the Chinese Pentecostal Church in Vancouver. They were persecuted simply for accepting Jesus as their Savior and living for Him, not for trying to ram the gospel down their family's throats. It was because they were just simply living for them, for Him. Those persecuting them had nothing personally against them. Their family members probably loved them. Still, they didn't agree with what they were doing, and they were persecuting them because of whose they were. They were identified with Jesus. They were Jesus's. They were the Father's children. And that's why they were being persecuted, because of who they were. We can rejoice when we're persecuted for righteousness because it proves we truly identify with Jesus. His presence is seen in us, and that's what really bothers other people. John Wesley was riding his horse one day, and as he was riding, he was thinking to himself, and he thought, I have not been persecuted for 3 days. He was astonished and he was concerned. No one had thrown a brick or an egg at him for 3 days. He was so alarmed that he stopped his horse and explained, can it be that I have sinned and I'm backslidden? So if you haven't had a brick thrown at you or an egg thrown at you for the last 3 days, maybe you've sinned and are backslidden. That was his thought. So he got off his horse and Wesley went down on his knees and began praying to God because he wanted to know if there was anything in him that he had done wrong, that was at fault, and that is why he hadn't been persecuted. Well, he knelt down and he was praying, and on the other side of the hedge, he didn't know this, but on the other side of the hedge, there was a rough man there. And he actually heard Wesley praying, and he looked to see, and he saw and recognized the preacher. So he picked up a brick, and he said, "I'll fix that Methodist preacher." And he hurled the brick at Wesley. Now, he wasn't a very good shot. I guess he never played baseball. He missed Wesley, and the brick just harmlessly fell beside Wesley's side. But what did Wesley do? Wesley jumped to his feet and joyfully exclaimed, "Thank God, it's all right. I still have your presence." He was excited that he had been persecuted. Wesley wasn't looking for persecution. He wasn't thinking, "Well, there's people around here. I'll just get down and pray and they'll persecute me." That's not what he was doing. No, he wasn't. Honest. That's not what he was doing. He was persecuted for righteousness, for seeking God, for just asking God if he was on the right track. In John 15, verse 19, it explains, "If you belong to the world, it would love you as its own. As it is, you do not belong to the world, but I have chosen you out of the world, and that is why the world hates you." When we are persecuted for righteousness, when we know we have done nothing wrong, we can rejoice and be truly happy. We are our Father's child. People are seeing Jesus in us. Not only does being persecuted for righteousness reveal we're part of God's family, it also reveals that we're on our way to heaven. Matthew 5, verse 12, Jesus declares, "Rejoice and be glad, because great is your reward in heaven. For the same way they persecuted the prophets who were before you." The persecution is saying to us, to those who are persecuted, that this child of God is getting a reward, and the persecuted needs to go to heaven to receive that reward. It means if you're being persecuted, you're heading towards heaven. When we're persecuted, Jesus is telling us that we don't really fit in here. We don't really fit in. There's something different about you. And that's why. Do you think people will persecute you if you just line up with all their beliefs and all that they want to do? We won't get persecuted. But if we don't really fit in, if we're a little different, that's why they're persecuting us. And that's why Peter proclaimed that we were only aliens and strangers here. We're just passing through here. I know sometimes it seems a long time at passing. And I'm not suggesting that we all drink the Kool-Aid and we get it over with. But we are just passing through here. This isn't our forever home. And when I thought about that, you know, I wrote that down and I thought, our forever home. I don't know how many times Kathy and I, we've got to a home and said, "Is this our forever home?" Because if this is our forever home, this is what we'll do. But it dawned on me that even as we talk about Ashcroft and the house we live in, are we doing this because it's our forever home? Our forever home is with Jesus. And eventually we'll be there. But this is not our eternal home. We are citizens of heaven. As we read in Philippians chapter 3, verse 20. "But our citizenship is in heaven, and we eagerly await a Savior from there, the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus said, when we go to heaven to receive the great reward, he said we would receive a great reward. What is this reward? What is this great reward that we're going to get? Well, first of all, and we sang a little bit about it today, we are going to see the Father for who he really is. We will see God face to face. We will not have to imagine, does he have long hair? Is he bald like Scott? Does he have a beard? Is he really friendly? Does he have a baseball bat that he's going to club me with? We won't have to imagine anymore. We'll face him face to face. We will worship him in his glorious presence. He will be the most loving, kind Father we've ever met, and we'll be there forever with him. And if that's not the greatest reward in itself, there is more. So I would encourage you to read Revelation chapter 21, that chapter, maybe this afternoon. We are told we will live in a new Jerusalem where there'll be no more sorrow or no more pain. Oh, we look forward to that. And there will be no more suffering and no more death. And God will wipe away every tear. There'll be no more wars or even rumors of wars. There will be true peace for us for all eternity. We will never be sad and downcast and discouraged. We will be always happy. We'll have those Garfield smiles all the time. We'll be so excited. We'll live in the very presence of the mighty God. There will be no more evil. It'll be gone. The old will be gone and the new will be there. That's where we will spend eternity. Yet there's still more. If you go back one chapter to Revelation 20, you'll read about how those who are remain faithful in their persecution and suffering, even if it includes dying for their faith, will be given a crown of life. You know, our reward will be so great that I don't think we can even put it into words. I don't think our words could really express how glorious and how mighty and majestic it will all be. Our words would not do it total justice. As great as all the blessings and the rewards are for those who are persecuted, may we know that persecution is not something that we go looking for. It's not something that we do so we will get persecuted. We need to live a life for Jesus. We need to pray when we go to the restaurant and have a meal. We don't need to stand on our chair and clap our hands and get everybody's attention. In fact, we don't even need to shut our eyes. We can just pray quietly if we're by ourselves or with somebody or with other folks that don't follow our faith. We can just pray quietly with our eyes open. I know that's hard, but we can do that. And we can just thank God for his wonderful provision for the food. We can go to church on Sunday. And if the neighbor's frustrated and thinks that's something wrong, that's their issue. We're not pushing it on them. And if we're persecuted for going to church on Sunday, or if we're persecuted for going and praying for our meal, or if we're persecuted because we won't take up the gossip with everybody else, or we won't get drunk with the with our former friends, if we're persecuted, or maybe with our friends, not necessarily former, but if we're persecuted because of those things, then great is our reward. Because we don't fit in, and we're a little different. Not so different that we push it in their face. True persecution will bring true happiness. When we are persecuted for righteousness, because we are like Jesus, because people feel His presence when we are around, and not because we're a nuisance, then we will be blessed. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, none of us, I don't think any of us here would say, yes, persecute me. But Father, we are willing to say we want to live a life worthy of the calling You've called us to. We want to live a life in the kingdom of God. A life that will glorify You, a life that will show that we are Yours and Yours alone. So Father, we just ask that You would do in our hearts what needs to be done. Continue to grow us as Your children, as a gracious Father, grow us to be more like Jesus. Stir our hearts day by day. And Father, if we are persecuted for righteousness, we thank You that we are found to be like Jesus. Lord, be glorified in our lives, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.